Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. My website is Cross the Border. You can go there anytime you want. Watch my short video there, and you'll get an overview of basically, I guess, a good capsule of my theology, if I could put it that way, of how I see the Scripture in a very short encapsulated view, and what I believe, and perhaps you may be enlightened by that, perhaps not, I don't know. Also, you'll find there these Bible studies. The last 5 days, of course, of this Jeremiah study will be there, because we always have the last 5 days of the Bible studies are posted there on the website from the live broadcasts. Eventually, after I finish his study, it usually takes me a little while to get the studies up there, because I am a very busy man. When you serve the Heavenly Father, I'll tell you what, at least for me, there's not a whole lot of time to get everything done very fast, because there is a lot of work to do. I don't know, what did the Messiah say? He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. So I say, come on, you know, get your sickle out and get out here in the field with me, because the Heavenly Father needs all of the workers he can get. And there's no greater privilege in this life than to serve him with all our heart. But if you want to serve him, first you have to learn how to serve him. To serve him, you have to learn obedience, because what good is a disobedient servant? If you're out there sinning and carousing and disregarding his law, then he can't use you. There's no place for you in his kingdom. If you want to serve him, then first serve him by obedience. Yahshua, he put it quite well when he was asked that question. And the question was, what is the greatest commandment, Master? And of course, these Pharisees, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites were always tempting him, trying to catch him in his words, but he always confounded them. And they would always return and say, but never a man spake like this. We've never heard such things before. No one's ever spoke like this. We can't trap this man in his words. But anyway, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, well, the greatest commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And of course, you know, I read the Ten Commandments and I read the Old Testament. They could have argued with that, but you know what? They really couldn't argue with it. And then he continued. He didn't stop there. He said, the second is like unto it. So we have two great commandments. One is to love our Creator. And the second, he said, is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to explain that this was the reason that he gave us the law and the prophets. The reason he gave us the law and the prophets, that was the law and the prophets, of course, comprised of what we call the Old Testament at that time. That was the law and the prophets. That was what he was speaking about. He was speaking about the Old Testament. If they had used that terminology then, he would have said, that's what the Old Testament's all about. It's to teach you how to love God and how to love your neighbors yourself. And I'll tell you what, if you study the book with that in mind, as we are doing, as we have been doing, and you go through these studies, and you'll see it everywhere. And yes, you'll see a lot of bad examples of how not to. But part of learning how to do something is learning how not to do the opposite, by learning from people that did the opposite. We don't want to be like that. Our Heavenly Father punishes nations and people who do the opposite. So the Word of God teaches us how to love God and how to love our neighbors ourselves. So we've got all these ecumenical, evangelical, corporate Christians out there going to their corporate churches and just running around going, oh, I love God. Oh, I just love Jesus. Well, if that's true, then they should look to his word and they should say to themselves, well, if I love God, then how do I show it to him? And if you look to his word, then you show it to him by obedience to his word, by following his commandments to the letter. Not because that'll save you, because nothing can save you. There's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Because you can never erase your past sins. We can never erase the sins of our fathers. We can never go back and undo what was done. We cannot unscramble the egg. It's already been scrambled. We already have the death sentence. We were born with it. And if that wasn't bad enough, each of us being born with a death sentence, yeah, come on, all you atheists, tell me it ain't so. Tell me it is not so. All of the proof, all of the evidence you need is in your own mortality. That's right. All the evidence you need that this word is true is in your own mortality. You will die. You are born with a death sentence. You will pay the price for the sins of your progenitors. Number one, you were born with the death sentence. And then after you were born, you sinned. That's right. You stole. You hated your brother without a cause. You committed adulteries. You practice idolatry. Yes, all have sinned. So we deserve a double death. But the grace of God allows us to be born. And then the grace that came through his only son allows us to stand before a holy God as if we had never sinned. So the message from our Messiah, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. His kingdom has always been at hand for those who wanted to please him, those who desired the gifts, the promises that he has always offered to all men, who desire to live according to his truth, the only real truth there is. There is only one truth, and it is absolute truth. And he is the only one who can tell us what absolute truth is. We cannot have our own absolute truth, exclusive of other people's truth. There's only one truth, and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Cross the border into his kingdom and live forever. Give up your lawlessness. Say, Father, teach me how to love you. Please teach me how to love you. Teach me your laws and your ways. Write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against you. And then you can truly say, I love God. Then you can truly say, I love Jesus. But as long as you're saying the law is nailed to the cross, as long as you continue in your lawlessness, every time you mouth those words, I love Jesus, or I love God, you are a liar. That's all there is to it. You are a liar. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm just saying you have to desire. You have to have a true desire to be perfect. And he judges the hearts. He knows what your true desire is. Whether you're after him or after the things that he has created. Whether you worship him or you practice the idolatry of worshiping the created things. Yeah, let us be the people who love the Creator more than the creation. And if we do that, even though the nation perish around us, as prophesied, over and over, as we've seen repeated over and over in history, even though the nation perish around us, even though he bring the sword of the heathen and the unbelieving hordes against us, or the famine, or the pestilence, come what may, even if the sword comes to us for our faith, because we stand in his truth and we will not recant, come what may. We know that his promises are true. We know that we will be in his kingdom forever. Though our mortality pass, and it will. Mortality, this period of mortality will pass for all of us. Yes, even you atheists out there, sitting around, relishing your unbelief, trying to convince believers that the Bible is fables. Well, you just come on, convince me that you're immortal. Convince me that you're not going to die, and then tell me why. Yes, all the evidence you need is in your own mortality. Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 33. And Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons, and a desolation forever. Yes, dragons are lizards from small to big. A desolation forever. Yeah, Hazor. There shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. The word of Yahuwah that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Well, you know, that there is a generous judgment to be scattered among the nations, because you live. You get to live. For I will cause Elam, that's verse 37, chapter 49, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them. Even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith Yahuwah. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Now, what are these latter days that he's talking about? Well, if we're going to take it in context of the prophet who is speaking these words, the latter days that Jeremiah speaks of course, is the gathering back together, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and the gathering together and a long period of peace in Judah, leading up to, of course, Daniel's 70th week and the appearance on the scene of the Messiah, after which the abomination of that maketh desolate occurs again and brings about again the destruction of Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem and the temple once again after it's rebuilt. And we see all of these cities, they had a remnant that came back in those latter days. And of course, the latter days, I believe, in this context here, are referring to the latter days of national Israel, of Israel as a nation, as a demonstration of the people of God on earth, and what happens to a nation. And unfortunately, I believe that the kingdom of God perished long before Israel, long before Judah, and long before the return again of Judah to Israel and the land of Palestine for the last time, when it was again destroyed in 70 AD. Because I believe that the end of the demonstration of the kingdom of heaven in flesh on earth, I believe it ended when the children of Israel cried out to the prophet and said, We want a king like other nations. We want a king like the other nations. That's really when the kingdom of heaven on earth, or the kingdom of God on earth, ended. The demonstration was that as long as man lives in his sinful flesh, they can't keep the kingdom of heaven. They can't keep a righteous nation. Demonstrated thoroughly. And again, in America, the greatest hope in the modern era of the kingdom of heaven on earth, the kingdom of God in flesh, destroyed once again. But it ended there when the people cried out, the children of Israel cried out and said, We want a God like the other nations. And Yahuwah said to the prophet, he said, They haven't rejected you, but they've rejected me from being king over them. And as the great Bible translator proclaimed in translating the Bible, he discovered what I discovered by reading those same words about the nation that the Heavenly Father set up in the wilderness. It was a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. And of course we know that the greatest usurper of all the presidents, the first in a long line of usurpers of presidents in America, we know that he borrowed that phrase or plagiarized, because he didn't give credit for that statement that he borrowed from Wycliffe, that that phrase, a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. But that was a proclamation about the nation that the Heavenly Father set up in the wilderness, the nation that he gave to the children of Israel, because it was a nation of judges, and all of those judges rose up of the people, from families of tens and families of fifties and families of hundreds on up to the supreme judge in Israel, who was at that time, well, was Moses, of course. And of course, above Moses was their God and their king, who was their creator. And America, well, somewhat founded on those same principles, as the prophet John proclaimed, America, a land rising up in the wilderness, having two horns like a lamb. Yes, all of those lamb-like features that were adopted. The greatest and last hope of anything near the kingdom of God in flesh on earth in the modern era. And I believe that's it, because we see that that lamb-like creature is morphing into a beast that speaks like a dragon. And soon it will change so fast and so quickly that it's going to make the people's heads spin in America, because it'll be gone. And that's the judgment that America deserves, because they have forgotten their God, just like all of these nations that we're reading about in Jeremiah. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all the winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith Yahuwah, and I will send the sword after them, till I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith Yahuwah. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith Yahuwah. Will it happen in America? Yes, it will. I think that you can bank on it. We're in Jeremiah chapter 50. And verse 1. The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Now you'll notice here that Babylon is the sword of Yahuwah. See, our Heavenly Father, this is His creation. He created it. He can wield it any way He wants. If He wants to wield one nation as His sword, that's what He does. Israel, in the beginning, when they went in to inherit the land, and while they were inheriting the land, they were the sword of the Lord. And when He told them, see, when He commanded them, you go in and you kill every man, woman, and child. Now you'll hear all of the naysayers today, and all of the unbelievers, and all of those who profane and blaspheme the name of God, they'll say, oh, that Old Testament, those people, they were bloody. How could a God of love? That's not a true book. That's not about God. Well, yes, it is. Here we have an instance. We have Babylon, the sword of the Lord. You know, so the Babylonians weren't listening to God. They weren't getting their instruction directly from Him. He wasn't telling them what to do, but they did it anyway, because He wields His sword, the sword of His choosing. And the whole earth is His, and everyone that dwells in it. And so when the children of Israel went in to take a nation at the word of the Lord? Yes, they were to be obedient. That's the difference. It's all of these heathen nations, when he wields them as a sword, they have no choice. He's not instructing them what to do. And you'll see that when the Heavenly Father instructed Israel as to what to do, well, sometimes they were obedient, and sometimes they were not obedient. And when they were not obedient, they were punished for their disobedience. But when he wields the heathen and the unbelievers, well, they have no choice. They're like the wild animal out in the wilderness. It has no choice. It has to follow the instructions in its brain. And those instructions are called instinct. Yeah. And that's the way the heathen are. They're driven by that instinct. They're driven by the instruction that the Heavenly Father gives them. They have no choice. Because that is not their relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because they're not living in obedience to them. They aren't going, well, what can I do to please my Creator today? Because if you're doing that, then he gives you instruction. And if you love him, then you'll obey. And that's how you show your love to him. And that's how Israel as a nation was to show its love for its God, its Creator, through obedience. So he instructed them to be his sword when he said, you go in, and you kill every man, woman, and child, or whatever instruction. Because sometimes they were to go in and kill every man and take the women and the children and the animals as booty for themselves. Their instructions varied, but they were to follow those instructions. Yes, he is God. No man has a right to judge the Creator. Who are we? We are but dust. Can the pot say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Or, you know, that's what the scripture says. So he wields the sword, and here he punishes those that he wields as a sword to, demonstrated over and over again. How can we think that we will escape? How can we think that America will escape? The word that Yahuwah spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations and publish, and set up a standard, publish and conceal not, say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken pieces. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going to take a break here. Visit my website, shoot me an email, let me know what you think of this program. We'll be back in a few minutes.